We stand for the reading of the word, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example or example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Father, we are so thankful for the privilege that we have to represent Jesus. We're so thankful, Lord, you have told us that we are ambassadors for Christ, standing in Christ's stead, pleading with men to be reconciled to God. We want to be the voice of the Lord here tonight, speaking as the oracles of God, praying, Lord, that you'd bless this congregation. You'd edify the body of Christ. You'd appeal to the souls of men.
Yes, God.
I pray that you'd help us plant our feet on higher ground. We'll give you the praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to preach to you tonight for a few minutes on the high calling of God. In my text, the Apostle Paul's testifying about the spiritual drive that's in him. This spiritual appetite focused his life just like a laser. He testified in verse 13 of my text, this one thing I do.
Yeah.
This one thing I do. All of life was encompassed in this and related to this one spiritual ambition in Paul's life.
No.
Paul had narrowed life to one pursuit, the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And Paul was calling in this text for the Christians in Philippi to follow his example of narrowing life to this essential purpose. He said in verse 15, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, that is, those who are spiritually mature, those who are knowledgeable in the truth of Scripture, those who are exercising godly living, let those people be thus minded. And in verse 17, he said, brethren, be followers together of me. It seems to me in this passage that Paul expected that Philippian church to be motivated and to be minded to press toward the mark. And I think that all of us who are believers should imitate the Apostle Paul in his drive to win the prize. Amen. I want you to see that this is an ongoing call in the heart of God's people. The high calling of God in Christ Jesus was for Paul an ongoing call in his heart. He'd received the call to salvation on the Damascus Road. He testified in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. In other words, Paul heard the call to salvation, and he answered that call. And the call of God is available. God calls us all. He calls us to salvation. He calls us, and this call of God summons us out of our sinful state into a new life of righteousness. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 declares, we've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Yes.
And according to Paul in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, he said, Christ hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son.
Yes.
And so the call of God, God calls us out of darkness. But that call of God is accompanied by the power of God to deliver us from our old life and establish us in new behaviors and new habits and a new conversation and new attitudes that belong to the kingdom of light. Salvation results from the call of God, the invitation of God to forsake the past and to begin life anew in Christ. And we don't ever minimize the importance of that call that Christ gives us to come out of darkness into marvelous light. And we don't want to minimize the powerful effect of that call on our lives. God gives us the power to begin a new life. In my text, Paul is testifying to the continuing call of God in his soul. Salvation brought peace. Brought a satisfaction, brought a contentment to his soul. But that salvation, that peace, that satisfaction was characterized by this holy restlessness.
Yeah.
This holy dissatisfaction. This holy discontentment. And he kept hearing a call to higher ground. And he said in my text in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, haven't yet achieved his spiritual goal. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. In other words, when he says reaching forth, he means straining toward those things which are before. And when he talks about forgetting those things which are behind, he's referring to anything in his past that hinders his spiritual progress. So you can understand that where Paul came from, the kind of life that he came out of, persecuting the church of Jesus, hauling men and women out of their homes and having them in prison because of their faith. Don't you know that Satan would often remind him of how he persecuted the church in the past and maybe how he even turned people against Jesus through his persecutions? I'm sure that the devil tried to shake his faith over his fierce persecution of the church. But Paul refused to take the bait. He said, forgetting those things which are behind, I reach forth unto those things which are before.
Yes.
You know, I'm sure Satan tries that same thing. Or maybe some of you here in this service tonight.
Bless him, Lord.
Satan seeks to get your focus on your past. So, you know, and make you forget that that past is under the blood of Jesus. But if he can get your mind on your sorry past, he'll rob you of your glorious future, brother.
Bless him, Lord.
He'll wreck your faith, and he'll retard your spiritual progress. Satan, however, doesn't just use the dirty deeds of our past in order to stop our spiritual progress, but he also points out our accomplishments, our spiritual attainments in the past. If he can't discourage you by reminding you of the bad things in your past, he'll try to stop you any forward movement by convincing you that you have enough grace.
Bless him,
that you know God well enough.
Thank you, Lord.
That your spiritual resume is impressive enough. I thought about your testimony, Brother George, that you just can't get enough of God and just need you feel the need to know God better. But there's many people that settle for being saved and sanctified and Holy Ghost filled and fire baptized, and from that point on they become satisfied and immobilized and petrified and part of the frozen chosen. But Paul, you know, Paul had trophies from his life in the past. He was a super Pharisee, and he had a list of spiritual experiences and accomplishments as an apostle of Jesus Christ. But Paul refused to dwell on those accomplishments as well as his failures. So he was refusing to allow anything in his past, whether it be failures or whether it be accomplishments, he refused to allow his past to stop his far progress in the faith.
Yeah.
Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. In other words, straining every nerve for that which lies in front of him.
Right.
Yeah.
Paul kept hearing a divine call to higher ground.
Yeah.
I wonder, do I have a church here tonight that's hearing and answering the divine ongoing call to greater spiritual attainment?
Oh, yes.
Or have we shut out the voice of God? I want to tell you something, brother. You're either going to heed that voice of God, or you're going to settle for less than what God has for you. And we must experience this same drive that the Apostle Paul had, this forward motion. We must reach for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to talk to you about that mark, the mark of the call. Paul said in verse 14, I press toward the
mark.
There was a goal in view. There was something in his mind that he was reaching for. And it kept him on course. He was pressing toward that mark. And I believe that the ultimate goal for Paul was to live with Christ in eternity in heaven. He said in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 23, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ. Paul had a desire to be with Jesus. But the path to that ultimate goal of living with Jesus for all eternity. And I want to tell you this in passing, that the Bible talks more about Jesus wanting to live with us than us wanting to live with him. God wants to live in you. And only if God lives in us can we live with him for all eternity. Paul engaged in this lifelong quest to know Christ. This was, you know, between here and the end of the journey. Our goal is to become more like Christ. He says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Did Paul not know Jesus? Obviously he knew Jesus. He had met Jesus on the Damascus road. But here he's saying that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. You understand that knowing Jesus is essential to resembling Jesus. And the more you know about him, the better you can conform to him. So we are constantly growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's important that we realize that we have been given a high calling. Some have translated that phrase as an upward calling. God has given us an upward calling, a high calling. The writer in Hebrews calls it a heavenly calling. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle, high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. God has given us an upward call, a heavenly call, a high call. Hallelujah. It's an ongoing call in the heart and life of every child of God. He's continually calling us to this fuller expression of his son Jesus Christ. Paul remarks in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 7, God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but he hath called us unto holiness. This is a high calling. Paul refers to the church at Rome and the church at Corinth as those who have been called to be saints. And a saint means a holy one. Speaking of the spiritual restoration of Israel in Isaiah chapter 6 and 62, the prophet said this, they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 2 and 15, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. And that word conversation means conduct. We're to be holy in all manner of our conduct. And you understand, if you want a definition of holiness, I'll give you a very simple definition of holiness. Holiness is Christ-likeness.
Amen.
The Bible calls Jesus the Holy One. He is the very embodiment of holiness. If you want to know what holiness is, find out about Jesus, because he's the Holy One. If you are going to be a holy person, you must conform to the image of Jesus Christ. You must be like him if you're going to be a holy person. Holiness is Christ's likeness. In 2 Thessalonians 2 and 14, Paul declares, whereunto he called you to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The glory of our Lord Jesus Christ has to do with the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody that gets saved, the Spirit of God takes up his residence in your heart. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And the Spirit of God goes to work on you immediately in order to conform you to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Bible tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith or faithfulness and meekness and temperance. Against there is no law. Now listen, when you read about that list of the fruit of the Spirit, you are reading about the character of Jesus. And the Spirit of God is recreating the character of Jesus in the heart and life of every true believer. I'm telling you, brother, if you don't want to be like Jesus, you haven't yet met him. But when you meet him, you will want to be like him. And the more you learn about him, the better you can conform to who Jesus is.
Yes.
Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they that testify of me. People say, I want to be like Jesus, but they neglect their Bible. This is where you learn about Jesus.
Come on now.
The Bible tells you what Jesus is like.
Amen.
It tells you the character of Jesus. We conform to the image of Christ Jesus. We learn about him in the scriptures. We learn about him in conversation with him, in fellowship with him, in prayer. God teaches us about the Son of God, and we conform more and more to Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, that's a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being changed into the same image. That is the image we are seeing in the mirror. We're being changed into the same image, the image of Christ, from glory to glory. That is, from one level of glory to the next level of glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, there's two ways that we look into the mirror. The Bible tells us in the book of James that the Word of God is a mirror.
Yeah.
We see ourselves in that mirror.
Yeah.
We see all of our blemishes in that mirror. The Word of God shows us the changes we need to make in life.
Amen.
You know, somebody asked a sculptor one day, had this great big block of stone, and he's going to make something out of that stone. And this person says to the sculptor, said, what are you going to do with that piece of stone? He said, I'm going to make an elephant out of it. He said, how are you going to get an elephant out of that piece of stone? He said, I'm going to cut away everything that don't look like an elephant. But I'm telling you, brother, this is what God's doing to us. He's cutting away everything that don't look like Jesus. Because God wants us to conform to the image of the Son of God. And all those attitudes in you. Amen. All of those habits in your life.
Come on now.
All of those things that characterizes your life that's not like Jesus, God's wanting to get rid of it tonight. He wants to cut out of your life everything that don't look like Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Something else we see in that mirror, though.
Praise God.
Jesus said, search the scriptures, and then you think you have eternal life. These are they that testify of me. So the scriptures not only show me myself and the things I need to take care of in my life in order to draw nigh to God, but I also see Jesus in that mirror.
Amen.
I see the one that God wants to make me like him, you see.
Amen.
So when I look in that mirror and I see Jesus, I see I have room to improve.
Amen.
Amen. I'd say everybody here has room to improve. When we look in the mirror, we see Jesus. We get a good, clear view of Jesus. It makes us aware of the fact we've got room to improve.
Amen.
Bless him, Lord.
And so the Spirit of God's working on us. As we look into that mirror and we see the glory of Jesus, the Bible says that we are being changed into the same image, the image of Christ. So Brother George is being changed into the image of Christ. I'm being changed in the image of Christ. Brother Tommy's being changed in the image of Christ. In other words, the more you serve God, the more we begin to look alike. Amen?
Amen.
Because we're all resembling the same. Praise God.
Amen.
I tell you what, brother, the Holy Ghost has only got one pattern.
Praise be to God.
He's got
That's
one
right.
pattern for every generation.
That's right.
It don't matter how old you are, how young you are.
Amen.
The Lord has got one pattern.
You're
the
right.
same pattern he had for Paul,
Bless
he's got the
Lord.
Same pattern for you.
Amen.
He don't change patterns
Come
when
on,
generation, new generations
That's
arise.
Right.
He takes the same pattern, brother,
Bless
and he makes
Lord.
Everybody look like
That's
Jesus.
Right. Amen.
Praise God.
Bless
Ain't
him,
no
Lord.
Excuse for not being holy, brother.
No, man.
Come on,
bro.
Ain't no excuse.
Glory to God.
Because the Holy Ghost has only one pattern.
That's right.
Amen.
Glory.
And so, he's working on us, changing us into the same image from glory to glory, from one level of glory to the next, by the Spirit of the Lord. The Lord's working in you. Hey, listen, when the Spirit of God comes in you, you don't get to pick and choose which one of these fruit of the Spirit do I want.
That's right. Come on.
You know, maybe I'll take this love, but that long-suffering, I don't think I want that.
Come on.
Or this faith, or this faithfulness. I don't know that I want that. I like this joy. I really like this joy. Yeah. But you don't get to pick and choose.
That's right.
It's a package deal.
Bless him, Lord. Amen.
And that's the reason why it doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit. It says the fruit single. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. It's a package deal. So when you get saved and the Spirit comes into your life, every child of God demonstrates the same character.
That's right. Amen.
Now you understand that not everybody is at the same level of Christ-likeness.
Come on now.
Not everybody's at the same level of holiness. So,
come on.
Even though we all have a measure of that fruit in our life, it's sort of like an apple in the springtime and early summer. You pick it off of the vine and bite into it. It's going to be sour. It ain't ripe yet. I mean, it's perfect for the development. It's time of development.
Yeah.
But it hadn't yet reached what it's going to be
right.
in the fall.
Amen. Come on.
And brother, that's the way it is in our lives. We all have that package deal.
Right.
But we hadn't all developed at the same time, the same level.
Come on.
Amen. And so as time goes on, this fruit ought to blossom in our life.
Hallelujah.
We ought to abound in the things of God.
Oh,
because we are conforming more and more to the image of the Son of God.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I don't want to take too much time here tonight.
Bless
but I feel this in my heart. I want to know, what is the mark you're shooting for?
What's the mark?
I want to know what you're aiming for
right.
in your life. Paul said he had a mark he's aiming for. I wonder, is it holiness?
Come on.
Come on. Hey, does holiness mean anything to you?
What's the mark?
Glory to God.
Is Christ likeness, does it mean anything to you?
Amen.
Are you aiming the right direction?
Oh, God.
Is there a growing knowledge of Christ and conformity to Christ? in your life. Now listen, there's a mark, but there's a prize too. He said, he mentions the prize in verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And from the context, I think the prize is related to the resurrection and the return of Jesus. In chapter 2 and verse 11, Paul says, if by any means, I'm sorry, I believe this is chapter 3 and verse 11. If by any means, he says, that I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He's here referring to the first resurrection, the resurrection of the just, of the righteous. There will also be a resurrection of the unjust, of the unrighteous. And there's 1,000 years between the two. The resurrection of the righteous and the resurrection of the unrighteous. And John mentions the spiritual character of the people in that first resurrection in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, on such the second death hath no power.
No power.
I want to tell you, brother and sister, you want to be in that first resurrection.
Yes, right.
Because that second resurrection is where the great white throne judgment comes in. And people whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life are thrown into the lake of fire forever. Paul refers to the return of Jesus in my text in verses 20 and 21. He says, for our conversation, and that word conversation in the original languages means citizenship. You could read it like this. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So you understand that the return of Jesus is going to match our redeemed souls with our redeemed bodies. And the return of Jesus, Brother Tommy, you said it tonight so well. It is just right here in front of us.
Yes.
The Christian life is not a spiritual high of being saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, and downhill from there.
Come on now.
That's not God's will.
No. Right.
Because there's an ongoing call. There's this upward call in our soul that keeps us straining forward. And this body is decaying, but the spirit is gaining. The body is weakening, but the spirit is strengthening. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4 and 16, though our outward man perish, yet this inward man is renewed day by day.
Amen.
Praise God. This old body is getting weaker, but inside, brother, there's something getting stronger as we get closer to God. Hallelujah.
That's right.
The inward man is being renewed day by day.
Day by day.
The Christian has a prize to look forward to. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8, I am ready, now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. The Apostle Paul was expecting a crown of righteousness. And he said, everybody else can have one that loves his appearing. Praise God. Hallelujah. The only way that you would love the appearing of Christ is if you love Jesus. If you don't love Jesus, you're not going to love his appearing. You're not going to be looking forward to his appearing. But if you love Jesus, you want to see Jesus. If you love Jesus, you want to live with Jesus.
That's right.
Paul was looking forward to that even as he was facing the chop block He was still looking for the return of Jesus.
Yes.
I'm telling you, brother, that's what kept him in such a spiritual state.
Yeah.
Pressing forward until the end of life, he could say,
yeah,
I have fought a good fight.
I
have finished my course. I have kept the faith.
Kept the faith.
Yes.
Glory. Hey, y'all, I'm telling you tonight, if you'll keep that forward look and you'll keep that pressing forward, if you'll keep your eye on the mark, if you'll look for the prize, I'm telling you, you can have this testimony at the end of your life as well. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith.
Yes, yes.
John declared in 1 John 3:2-3, beloved, now we the sons of God, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him, what does he do? He purifies himself even as he is pure. I'm telling you, brother, this is the mark of those people that are looking for Jesus to come back. The Bible tells us that Jesus is going to appear the second time unto them that look for him. Shall he appear the second time? Without a sin offering, without sin.
Amen.
And so, brother, we are to purify ourselves even as he is pure.
Right.
If we're expecting to see Jesus.
Amen.
In peace.
Yes.
We're being called with a heavenly calling, a holy calling, an upward call.
Amen.
Amen. An ongoing call. Understand this, brother and sister. When somebody comes to the piano, this, you cannot remain where you are spiritually.
Come on.
Understand this.
Come on.
You cannot be static.
That's right.
In your spiritual life.
Yes.
You will either answer this call or you will silence this call.
Right. Yeah.
God has put in every child of God an ongoing call.
Ongoing.
An upward call.
Amen.
A heavenly call.
Yes.
A high calling.
Yes.
God has put it in the heart of every child.
Amen.
There's a goal to this calling. There's a prize we're reaching for. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 9. God directed John to write this. Write, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Yes.
Brother, the Apostle Paul preached the gospel with a wedding in mind. He said to the church at Corinth, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin unto Christ. He preached with a wedding in mind. And I'm preaching to you tonight with a wedding in mind. Jesus, the bridegroom, is coming back for his bride.
Yes.
Amen. Oh, glory to God. He's coming back for a virgin, brother.
He sure is.
He's coming back for a church. Amen. A holy church.
Holy church.
A sanctified church.
Yes.
A glorious church. Woo, hallelujah.
Yes.
He's coming back for a glorious church.
Yes.
Not coming back for a crippled bride. He's coming back for a glorious bride.
Yeah.
Amen.
He's not coming back for a spotted church.
Right.
He's coming back for one unspotted.
Right.
From the world.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Y'all getting this?
Yes.
Y'all understanding this?
Glory.
Oh, glory to God. Oh, I feel that upward call. I feel that upward call in my soul. Every day I'm trying to press on a little further, get a little closer, be a little more like Jesus.
Yes.
Allow the Lord cut away everything in my life that don't resemble Jesus.
Amen.
Yes.
Brother, not long ago, I've been serving God since I was 13 years old. I'll be 68 in January. And not long ago, I was praying, and God said, son, there's something in your life, and he pointed out to me that this is grieving the Holy Spirit of God.
Holy God.
I said, amen, Lord. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit of God.
Come on.
I want no attitude in me. Nothing I'm doing. No habit of life.
Praise.
It grieves the Holy Spirit of God.
Come on.
Amen. I want to be ready when Jesus comes.
I want to be ready.
I want to be part of that bride, brother.
Amen.
That holy bride of Jesus. Hallelujah. I wonder, do I have a group of people here tonight that feels that upward call? I told you about that church in Croatia. They just looked at me while I was preaching to them. No amens, just looking at me. But when I got through preaching and gave that altar call, brother, it was on then. I mean, they went to praying. They lifted up their voice to God. They pray a solid hour, no music. I mean, beseeching heaven, weeping and crying and calling on the name of the Lord.
Glory be to God.
The pastor sort of apologized to me for no amens in the congregation. I said, look, listen, I'll take the silence while I'm preaching if I can have the praying around the altar.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
That's right.
Oh, glory to God. I think this is our purpose for coming together.
Yeah.
We're to exalt one another.
Right.
And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Amen. We're to encourage one another. What do we encourage one another to do? We're to encourage one another to draw near to God.
Amen.
Draw nigh to God.
Right.
That's what we're here for tonight.
Yes. Amen.
That's what I want you to do.
Yes.
I want you to feel that upward call.
Feel it.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. Oh, God. I want you to feel that heavenly call, that high call of God in Christ Jesus. Get your eye on the mark. You want to be like Jesus. Get your eye on the prize. There's a crown of righteousness waiting on those who love his appearing. Bombs are falling in Israel, in the Middle East. Rockets are flying. Tanks are rolling, and it would be a good time for Jesus to come.
Right time, right.
It's just part of the signs of the end times.
Yes.
And brother, if you've ever gotten stirred to seek God, it's time to get stirred.
Yes.
It's time for revival.
Time for revival.
Time for revival right
Thank
here.
You, Lord.
The Good Shepherd holding his church.
That come on now.
Good Shepherd holding his church. Time for revival right here. Good Shepherd Holiness Church.
Right here.
Time to get in this hall and say, God, let me feel that upward call. Let me feel that heavenly call. Let me feel that high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Yes, yes.
If you're not saved, there's a call to you. Come,
come
unto me, Jesus said. I'll give you rest.
That's right.
If you haven't been made holy, if there's carnality in your life, God's calling you to a holy calling, with a holy calling.
That's right.
He wants to purge you, sanctify you, cleanse you, make room for the precious Holy Ghost to fill your heart and your life. Amen. Amen. If you haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost, there's a call to you.
That's right.
Come on and be filled with the Spirit of God.
Hallelujah.
Let's stand together while they sing. Altars are open.
Thank you, Lord.
Come on into the altars.
Yes, Lord.
Let's seek the Lord tonight.